from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who could go by the name. It wouldn't be Huck Finn, I'd be Tuck Finn, because my job is to tuck you in. Or to, would you prefer? Oh no, you prefer me to untuck you. Okay, pull on that one there. Because I was going to, I could also say I would be Tuck Everlasting, unless you need to be untucked. And then I could, you know, like you say, well, I like to be tucked in. And I say, okay, you prefer Tuck Everlasting. You prefer untuck Finn, the person who tucks you and untucks you in. So whatever it is, mostly I do that with nonsense and going off topic and silly bedtime stories, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see, like, see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taking being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15 year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing, everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the show I really need you to hear, particularly if you're a regular listener. If you're an occasional listener, new, not important like the rest of this stuff. But this is how we keep the podcast free for everybody. And oh boy, do we have a lot of people to thank on behalf of Native Deodorant. Carrie, Gail, Mindy, Melanie, Chris, Sam, all supported Native. They use their coupon. You can find it at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. I get even more people to thank. But if you want to be in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, check out one of our sponsors. They're usually in the show notes or at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. After you support them, tag them in a post on like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and tag me. Let them know that, you know, you heard about the product on Sleep With Me. And then I'll thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Also, the podcast is now on Delta Airlines. So while that's not a sponsorship, if you see the show on Delta, tag them, tag me, and I'll thank you on here too. And listen to it. There's 5 sweet episodes up on the Delta in-flight entertainment system. Thanks everybody for supporting the show, particularly Sam, Chris, Melanie, Mindy, Gail, and Carrie. The end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Well, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to sign up for a newsletter where you don't really get any emails currently, but one day you will, and they'll be cool, or like there'll be some reason I'll send out an email. Go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter, and that is the end of this. What do you say? I'm mixing everything up here because it's bedtime. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, you know, things on your mind. Maybe they're from the past, present, or future. Whatever things you're thinking about. It could be emotions, feelings that are coming up for you, you know, remnants or anticipated, you know, what do you say, anticipatory ones. It could be physical sensations, changes in time or temperature or schedule or routine. Holy moly. I don't know if there's a song about, like, maybe there should be, is there an old country song like, "Don't mess with my routine, man"? I guess, like, is that what "don't fence"? I guess routine, people say routines fence me in. And I would say, I would sing "Don't Fence Me In," but I would really mean, you know, don't remove the fence that is my routine. Anyway, if you're new, that's not making a lot of sense. So whatever's keeping you awake, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, whatever it is, I'm here to help. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create this safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you up, right? There's plenty of space here, plenty of room. It's really nice. We just redid a couple of areas in the safe place. We actually, you could choose, routine, not routine, metaphorically not routine or routine, not sure. We have all of those options if you like. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. Holy cow. I'm going to go off topic. Get to the point. Or, maybe I'll eventually get back to the point. Also, ums and ahs and uhs, ers, all those things. Yeah, but what I'm really here to do is to keep you company while you drift off. So here's a couple of things. So if you're new, one, I'm glad you're here. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Now, a couple of things I'd like you to know, like structurally what to expect is the show starts off with a few minutes of business, and that's how we keep the podcast free for everybody. Then there's an intro, and this, if you're new, this could really throw you off. So I want to get you comfortable. So the intro is around 12 to 18 minutes of me. Just kind of, initially it would seem like I'm just talking without a point, or I'm just talking about the podcast, or I'm really not making any sense. And I'd say, yeah, all of those are true. But the intro is like, I mean, it is a long-winded way of me setting up the show, but it's also like a cool down or a warm up. I guess it's a little bit of both to allow you to get ready for bed, to ease you into bedtime. And either to put you to sleep or to set the stage for you falling asleep. Now, you can, once you become a regular listener, or you could skip the intro now. But then the podcast will go from making barely any sense to a much less sense. So kind of give the show a few tries. I mean, it's a free podcast, so see how it goes and see what works for you. But really, the majority of listeners either listen as they're getting ready for bed or as they first get in bed. So it's just like a familiar friend, the regular listener, I would imagine, after they say, oh, I can't wait to listen to that old Scoots. Don't know what he's going to talk about tonight. And I mean, I probably won't know again later or tomorrow. He's going to start that intro. I know how the first few minutes go. And then I know I can start to relax or unwind or brush my teeth or brush my hair. Pet my pets more than once on a regular basis. Holy cow. Pet those pets. Am I right, pets? Right. Don't forget to blow a kiss to your fishes, too. What up, fishes? It's been a little while since I said that to you. Oh, yeah. Birds. Don't forget to put that thing over the bird cage, because if your birds like that, the old sheet from the twin bed. So all of those things you could do while listening to the intro. You know, some people listen to it to decompress during the day, but it's really just, it's to help you unwind and get ready for bed. So the intro is 12 to 16 to 18 to 17 to 15 to 14 to 13 minutes or so. Then there's some business. Tonight will be like our season, a look back at our season of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. So that'll be fun. And That's the structure. So there's thank yous at the end. And so, yeah, like I said, they can kind of throw people off. You don't really need to listen to this podcast. Like, it's almost like you're kind of almost passively consumed. It's like you kind of actively, you kind of barely actively listen until you're not listening anymore. I don't think there's anything acute about the podcast other than me trying to be acute with my little jokes about, like, how great pets are and petting pets. And saying how acute you look, but go ahead, pull that up. Go ahead, giggle. It's okay. Even cuter when we giggle. I think science even says that giggling increases cuteness I'd say probably 32%. So, yeah, and you don't have to actually really giggle. You could just, imagine yourself giggling. That's what I do. And they say, well, how come you never laugh? I say, well, I laughed in my head. I'm giggling right now, totally. It is like, it's hilarious. You're hilarious. I'm sorry. I'm really cracking up. I just don't, believe me, later I'll be laughing. Also in my mind. But so science shows that kind of thing still increases your cuteness 14%. According to a letter my mom put in my lunch in fourth grade, at least, which is kind of, so that was in my lunch. Remember, son, smiling increases cuteness by 14%, even if it's just smiling on the inside. Also, don't frown. Remember not to frown. Frowny face emoji. Before there was emojis, there was lunch notes with the drawings. Where was I? Don't need to listen to me. I think I made that clear. You can kind of listen because I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are about an hour, because I put two shows out a week, 8 shows plus a month, have like plenty of shows in the archives. So you have plenty of room to fall asleep or to keep you company. Like if you can't sleep, I'm here. I'm here for you. Believe me, I'm going to be here at minute 48, making just as little sense as I make right now. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. Because I'm your boar friend. I'm your boar bae. I'm your boar cuz, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar bruh, whatever I can earn over time. If you're new, just see how it goes. So let's see. You don't need to listen to me. No pressure. Fall asleep. Why do I make the show? That's always good to cover. Well, I make the show because I've been there, tossing and turning, waking up. Sleep remains a baffling thing for me, even though I do have a routine. That's what I was joking about at the beginning of the show. I have my bedtime routine, and then I have my morning routine, both of which ideally I kind of stick to. I have my daytime routine too. What's my bed? My bedtime routine I've been doing, I try to do it every night. I'm not always consistent, but I usually like to sit outside and read for a little while. Maybe have that Four Sigmatic cacao. And drink that and have a nice beverage sometimes and sit quietly for a little while, like meditate, not quite meditate, but I just like to listen to the noise and feel the air and stuff like that. Then in a perfect world, then I would roll out like foam roll. That's my thing. I say, I'm going to foam roll till it feels good. Which it hasn't. I microdose. They say, you into microdosing, Scoots? I say, yeah, foam rolling. I microdose that. I say, this is the most, it's good thing foam rolling doesn't sponsor this podcast because it's pretty, we have a foam roller. But just because, I do it, like I do it in microdose. I say, okay, let's do 1% of my IT band. I discovered this one thing. I don't know what muscle it is. It's near my hip, and then it's attached to my leg. whatever the upper part of your leg's called. I don't know what that's called. A drumstick or whatever. And I say, how'd you get so tender down there? Like, I mean, not to mention all the other places. So then I foam roll, crack some jokes. So I talk to Koa, who watches me and listens to me. And she says, you know, this is the only time I've heard those noises in this bedroom before. And that's what we always laugh. And I say, ha, 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 Koa. Then I foam roll. Then I finish that up. Then I try to have a little more quiet time, collect my thoughts. Ideally, I would fit some journaling in there or something, but I have yet to do that lately consistently. And then, is there anything else I do? Use the restroom, brush my teeth, floss, holy moly, right, dentist? Of course, right, doctor? Right, yeah, boy, do I floss. I do, actually. And then I read until hopefully I don't check my phone. I say, don't go on the internet, don't check any of those places. And I say, well, let me just, check the old, and I say, no, please don't. So then I read, and then I hopefully, then it sets the stage at least. But one thing is, for me, why does it have to be all or nothing? Then there's like nights where I'm like too tired and I say, forget the whole routine. I'll just go straight to the book part. And hopefully that'll help when I kind of know, having this routine kind of helps me normally have a better chance of falling asleep. And hence, I went off topic and I thought I'd find some punchline for what I was joking about at the opening of the show. But in reality, it just points out what I really desire is if this podcast could be a part of your wind down and falling asleep routine and actually help you get the sleep you deserve, the sleep you need, the sleep you desire, it would be my honor. Especially nothing against foam rolling because it is supposedly really good for you. But, if you say, well, you know what? I listen to Sleep With Me. It's like foam rolling for my... it's a foam rolling for FOMO, or, maybe I'll think of something wittier in another time, because everything else sounds, like a foam roll for my heart. That's in a good, that could be a good, not a Hallmark card, but your smile is a foam roll for my heart. Increases cuteness by 23%. That's from Gingerbread Press, greeting cards, one day to be launched. Sleep With Me. Like a foam roll for your soul, or, alternatively, your spirit, or alternatively, your Sleep With Me. We won't use those terms. Sleep With Me, like a foam roll for your heart. Yeah, we should have stuck with that one. So I really hope I can be there for you. However you work the show in your routine is kind of up to you. You kind of see how it goes. But as I always say, I'm glad you're here. I really, really do appreciate you giving me your time. And I strive and I really work very hard. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep this show free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Scoots, and it's time for our recap, our look back at what was this? What just happened? Oh, a season of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. So I'll just be looking back at some of the creative process. I may pause this and go get some of my notes, or I might not. So we'll see how it goes. But of course, before I get started talking about it, one second. So, ladies and gentlemen, so boys and girls, so friends beyond the binary, it's time for a recap episode. In a world without math, two heroes rise. This is the recap of the adventures of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. Yeah. Thanks. That's Mr. Antonio Banderas, who will be lying down and relaxing and unwinding and just generally chilling in my bed, which actually is the bed frame's adjusted right now. So, oh, my friend, for me? Was for somebody else, but who was resting. Yes, I know. But you can get comfortable in it and just relax. And yeah, it might even help you stay quiet. Oh, you want to say? Yes, I'd like to just thank Julie from Radiotopia for introducing us to Coloco. It's an excellent game, and it's brought Schooner and I much joy. Okay, thanks. And yeah, check out all the amazing shows over at Radiotopia. That's what Antonio probably, radiotopia.com. Hopefully that's right. But just search in your podcast app. You could start with Ear Hustle and then go from there. So you just search Ear Hustle in your podcast app of choice. And that's Mr. Antonio Banderas, who's gotten a lot of love over on Reddit. So let's talk about this season of season ones are always interesting for me, and take away from a couple of things about the show and a couple of ponderings of the future of how I make the show in the future. And even some listener comments that might have been kind of small, but that really resonated with me in a positive way, or aligned with what I was already thinking about. So let's see. So where do we start? Let's start in the beginning. And I don't know if I've talked about this anywhere, like at the ending of the whatever. I'll just talk about it. So this is a concept that I've been waiting and trying to get to come together for a while. And it again, bloomed out of the podcast a long, long time ago. And I don't even know how many years. Just during an intro, I think it came up like I was talking or something came up about isosceles. And I was just doing an intro and I just liked how that sounded, like isosceles. It reminded me of like I Claudius or I Robot. And I just liked the way that sounded. And then I think I went on a riff about it. And then Dr. Triangle, like the idea of Dr. Triangle and isosceles came up. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then another point, I was editing episodes for like an all intro or all night episode that comes out on Patreon. And I heard it again, and I said, this was, again, years ago, too, maybe a few less years ago. But I said, oh, yeah, I really liked, I wish I had those two should have their own series. What would it be? And again, I said, okay, well, let's just park it in this part of my brain, of the future series part of my brain. And every once in a while, I'd be out walking the dog, and it would pop up, and I'd say, okay, well, what do we have? Explaining, it could be a kid's show, explaining kids to math, something like that. And I said, oh, well, I don't know, I'm not feeling it. Maybe it should be more of a daytime show. And then I said, okay, well, I don't know. So then I had to let it go. And again, this is jumping back a few years, but someone had pointed out, I think, on Facebook of some similarities in the world between Station 11 and Station 11, just to explain it, it's a book, a novel. It came out in 2014, and it's by Emily St. John Mandel. And it's a similar world. It's a different, but I don't know. I read it. I think John August on Script Notes recommended it. Then I bought it, and I read it, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't want to reveal anything about the book other than it's in a similar postmodern world. But I really liked just the feel of it and the fact that this one took a place around the Great Lakes, I think, and it had some migration going on. But there was just something I liked about the feel of it. It also had this more Middle Ages kind of reversion feel, where some dystopian stuff has a much, I don't know, I just liked it. And then I forgot about it, but it was something I appreciated. So it was just another thing tucked away in my mind. And then again, but I never, so at the time I didn't associate the two things. So let me say that. I just appreciated greatly the style of Station 11. And now I'm like, oh boy, I don't know if there was any, what the next novel she wrote after that is. Even though I'm double noveled right now because it was 70% through one book when my, I only had it checked out for 3 weeks from the library. So now I'm 40% through another book and I have a hold on my original book waiting to get that back. So and I read very slowly. So I'm probably 2 or 3 months from being able to read anything new. But anyway, neither here nor there. So those were some disparate ideas in my mind. They were disparate at the time. So two characters, Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, and just this world of Station 11 of wagons. That was particularly the main thing that stuck out to me. And, I don't know. So, and then with Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, even though it didn't do any story development, just those names have their own character development within them. And what I mean by that is, anyone named Isosceles, he's going to be a little bit egocentric and then so just has this thing of isosceles and it makes it kind of fun. And then Dr. Triangle is a little bit more, has just an analytic feel or maybe an anti-analytic feel. But anyone named Dr. Triangle, it's brings up the questions, are they really a doctor? Are they named Dr. Triangle? Are they named the Doctor of Triangle? So those are the ideas. And then again, a lot of the series on the podcast, stuff has to just sit and stew, and then the story swamp bubbles stuff up. But before it does, it usually starts calling me back. So there's different times where I was like, oh, man, like, why haven't I had been able to come up with a concept for that? We got the kind of title. And then this whole idea of us doing more procedural style shows, it has like kind of given me some creative focus in a different way. And then just like the scheduling, like I schedule stuff pretty far ahead of time, like even the production or the pre-production or the pre-pre-production, like in this case. So it was like already like, I think I'd looked at the schedule because it was like, Nuns in Space, I'm not positive this is how the schedule went over the last year, but like Nuns in Space, Holiday Series, Big Farm, Season 2 might have been the schedule over the past like 12 months or so. So it was like, okay, we need a new series. What do you think we're going to do? And then I was like, oh, and then again, I was like, well, it'd be fun. I really like, there's something about the Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. And then in the idea, and I think this is where the procedural focus helps. It's like, oh, now I'm trying to write in a more, tell these stories in a more episodic fashion. So they don't have to be procedural, but what works a lot of times in episodic stuff is procedural, whether it's like whatever the conceptual procedure is. Oh, what do I mean by procedural? That's a great question and a great chance for a tangent. Procedural traditionally would have been on like a TV show or like a Big Farm in the Sky is a great example of a procedural. Okay, the case of the missing pennies. How are we going to find the pennies by the end of the episode? So the arc of the episode is the conclusion of the episode would be finding the pennies and the procedure of them finding the pennies. Or like, I guess Good Place is kind of episodic, but usually each episode, I guess now that it's almost done, it's episode, it's not a, but a lot of times the episodes were, sometimes the episodes were procedural in a different way. Usually it's hard to trust this stuff that the process works. And I talk about this every time, and it's like every time I have doubt in the process, like, oh no, I'm not going to have a series ready to go because I don't have any. In order to put out 100 episodes a year, it's just it's a creative positive, but like it's like when the deadline comes up, it kind of has to be met. I mean, if I have personal take care, you know, self care reasons, it doesn't have to be met. But as far as like a professional doubt, like story doubt or procrastination within the work, it kind of does. And unless it's going to creatively suffer, but a lot of times it creatively benefits. So whatever, I was getting close to where I would have to, like, where it was still like, at least I need a concept. And I don't know what triggered it. And maybe it was like some of the general, like, stuff I think about outside of the podcast. But I started at some point, got curious about this idea, and it must have popped into my head in some clear way, but I don't have a clear memory of when it happened. And I guess it's I don't want to get too into the weeds about what I believe in personally or stuff, but at some point I thought about, like, what if people stop believing in math? Like, a world without math, that would be like a place where Dr. Triangle and Isosceles would be heroic. But then I was kind of like, well, why are then it was a little bit dissonant because I was like, why are they named Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, right? And so, you know, so then I was like, well, it's a great question. And then it's like, okay, why is there a world without math? And then that became fun. Like, then I got the ideas. And I mean, again, like I talk about in the podcast, like these Marvel movies, like, and you think about gods and goddesses and stuff. I was like, oh, okay. Like, it's not that much of a, it's not a big of an ask of suspension of disbelief, I think, like to think about gods and goddesses. So then I started to think, like, then I researched gods and goddesses of like, who would be the goddess or the god that would be anti-math? What goddess or god might represent math? And that's when I kind of stumbled upon Sashat and Discordia. And then I kind of liked that feel, like one is trying to restore math in the world and one is taking it away. And then that would help with the explanation that, like, not only was it like that people stopped believing in math and respecting math and living in, by math-based principles, but that also there was like other greater forces at work. So then I said, okay, so this is, that's like the, like, no, I guess, so I said, that's a world, and then I, then it's like, and I said, okay, and then Discordia, she's the goddess of math, and I said, okay, how did Dr. Triangle and Isosceles play into this, because I didn't, I don't, just don't like it when it goes straight forward, right, because they said, okay, like, if they were lovers of math, that would kind of be too convenient for me. I don't know. And it wouldn't, it just would take away a little bit of whatever their journey or their motivations. It would be too simple for my opinion. So I said, well, why the heck would they be, if they're not math lovers, why the heck are they Dr. Triangle and Isosceles? And then this is where Station 11 came in, because I think in Station 11, they were performers too. And I said, oh, okay. What if, and then at some point, it just kind of made it clicked with the influence of that and this of like, okay, yeah, what if they're traveling math pair, like they have a math parody act? Like, so we live in this world, or we used to live in this world where people slowly became divided on math, like, oh, well, you know, math's not real or whatever, or I don't use math anymore. Like, and then also, at some point, Discordia got involved in erased math, but there was already like a cultural movement of like whether Discordia caused that or human beings caused that, I can't answer because I wasn't there. It, or maybe it's both. And then Discordia actually actively started to deteriorate the ability of math to function in the world. And so I said, oh, okay, well, that would kind of make sense. You'd be, those are very, like, showy names anyway. Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, maybe they've made their living doing math parody. Like, or let's look at the reverse side of it. Like, right, like, there's people that love science, like Allie Ward, Bill Nye, used to be Mr. Wizard. And they, I mean, they're more fact-based performers, and but they're still performers, like doing shows or doing like entertainment and science-based entertainment. So Dr. Triangle and Isosceles are kind of the exact opposite of that. They're Bill Nye and Allie Ward. I don't know if that makes sense. Like they're the inverse. In you know what I mean? Like, they're going around making fun of people. It would almost be like, yeah, if there was a, like, I wouldn't like that. Say, well, I'm Sam Fry, man. Again, no need for science. Or whatever, you know, or they would do, like, a parody of Bill Nye. Maybe that's what the absent mind is. Was the absent mind of a professor like anti-science? No. I mean, they're not really anti-math. They're capitalizing on anti-math sentiment. So, so this is where stuff started to come together. So, oh, okay, so I'm getting an idea of who they are. The world they live in is like this postmodern world. It's not a flashy kind of dystopian, more of a, just a Middle Ages dystopia. And it's not, we're not in total wreckage because it's not like there was any one incident. It was just, at some point, everything that relied on math either doesn't function at all or barely functions. So those are just things. And then it led into this idea of like, okay, well, how is this a procedural then? Or how is this episodic? Because I can see an overall story arc, right? Who's going to win, Discordia or Sashat? What part do Dr. Triangle and Isosceles play? What are their wants and needs and desires? What are they afraid of? Like, what are they good at? How do they relate to, how do they get involved? with this overarching story of math versus unmath, or chaos, actually. I mean, Discordia is basically... So that was kind of the overall of like, okay, so what is a procedure? And then I thought, this is where it's nice to have creative constraints, because I said, oh, this will be nice. It won't be a world... I mean, because that really is, like, especially in the time constraints I have, to imagine a world without math, that takes a lot of research. Because, it, you know, like, once you start to say there's zero math, you know, people will say, well, we just, that's not a workable, that's not a workable environment for living, breathing characters. So then I started to think about this world with reduced or no math. And then it kind of jumped back to the original thoughts I had with the characters, was like, okay, I did want, when I saw Dr. Triangle and Isosceles earlier, I said, okay, I want them to be involved in the actual specifics of math somehow. And originally, when I was first thinking of it, I said, oh, well, they'll teach kids math, like, that'd be fun. But that obviously didn't pan out. But I said, oh, okay. So that's like the procedural part, is like each episode's this mystery for them of restoring one missing math principle to the area and stuff. So then I said, okay, that's the procedural part. And then that gives me like a starting point for each episode. Because another hard thing, whether it's a serialized story for me, especially with a 10-day writing process, is... like, where's the start? Where does each episode start? Especially if it's not a serialized story, where it's like sometimes a serialized story in that sense is easier, because it's like, okay, you start at the beginning, then you know the ending, then you figure out how many episodes do we have. Like, this would be how, like, I don't think I always wrote, like, this would be how I would write a serialized Sleep With Me thing if I had tons of time. And then I would, you know, start beginning and end the characters, and then how do they get from the beginning to the end? How many episodes do we have? What are the major points? But with a procedural, what's nice is that each episode's kind of a fresh start, right? I mean, these are all serialized in some way, just because that's just, I don't know. They're serialized in bites. Or why I say modular is there might be a little bit serialized, but you can listen to them in any order. Okay, so the nice thing about procedural, then it was like, okay, well, then I'll pick a math principle, and maybe I could help, that'll help me find the theme of the episode, the conflict, not just in the missing principle, but that's like helps me have my own writing conflict, right? Like, not only are you trying to make the characters have conflict or whatever barriers or challenges, but it's like helps me be like, what am I going to try to write about or figure out? Like, what is this puzzle that I'm trying to figure out or build? And so it'd be like, oh, if there's no whisker and box plots, what is a whisker and box plot? That would be my first day of writing. I would pick a principle, try it mostly randomly or by the sound of it, off of like this Common Core website I found. And then I would say, okay, whisper and box plots or whatever the other principles in that episode were. And I say, okay, that's interesting. What are those things? Okay. How would that manifest if you couldn't use this principle? What would that do to a community? Okay. Well, what community would be most interesting to have that math principle taken away from? Okay, then how is that community, how is this missing principle impacting this community, having a broader importance on like society at large or humanity that would make it important? Like, how is that an impact that's going to be important for Dr. Triangle and Isosceles to restore? And then how is it kind of mysterious? Like, because otherwise people would be like, how is it not like apparent immediately that it's a missing principle? That, like, there probably were some towns in between episodes where Dr. Triangle and Isosceles just walked into the town and they said, oh, addition, this is addition. Like, they didn't even need to do anything. like maybe they had a 1 second conversation. Like it was just so obvious. He said, oh, this one is XY axis or, you know, I don't know exactly. But so like this particular stories of their overall story that I was going to tell, you know, they have to be interesting enough to put you to sleep. And it also made it interesting to me. I mean, I guess I did not have really enough time, like, to really learn the principles. So it was, like, cursory, one, sometimes 2 day. And, I mean, because here's the thing. I have, like, 25 minutes set aside a day over 10 days to write the episodes. And sometimes that'll get stretched to 2 weeks. But then if it gets stretched to 2 weeks too many times, then I have to, like, figure out, like, bumping an episode so I have enough time to get everything produced. But so, like, yeah, like, I would have, like, one 25-minute or two some days to just be like, okay, what is this math principle? It also made it fun because it was, like, unpredictable, right? Like, if I'm too much in control, then having a variable to work with that I don't necessarily understand or whatever, it helps. It also helps, like, in a mysterious way that the plot of the episode or the theme of the episode can come out of that. Because it's like trying to figure out this puzzle, be like, okay, which go, okay, why? All right, well, we're in a, so, okay, let's see, what do we know so far? So we have Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. How's this problem interesting for them to solve? And it's a medieval world, so, okay, what do we need, what do you need in a medieval world? What would a goddess that's pro-math and seemingly pro-humanity, what would she want? Okay, well, okay, you need food, you need water, you need heat, you know, trying to look at the hierarchy and needs a little bit too. I think at one point there was even one episode I was like using the hierarchy of needs and some other thing. I can't even remember if that guy, I don't know. I mean, again, because I was doing a lot of this recording over the summer, and now that I'm recording this, it's like October. Or like September, the end of September. And then when this comes out, it'll be whatever, like late October, or probably like when you hear this, it'll be like before Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, so about 2 months from now. So, hey, what's up? How's the future? Pretty sweet, huh? So, okay, so I'd pick this math principle, and then I'd try to work it into the episode. And then, now this was one where stuff changed. So the first episode, and this will go into like some things that I wasn't totally feeling like worked and, you know, part of the processes I've learned over making this podcast. But you might have noticed like, so the first episode, I think it was like an independent narrator. And I just didn't feel like that worked. Like I was like, okay, like, and a lot of times I have to make the episodes, which we'll go back into, but like in order to figure out what's going to work or not work, but I don't have the luxury of making test episodes. It's just like not in the workflow of the podcast. What I was going to say, I forgot already. Okay, so not making test. So the narrator. So then when it came time to the second episode, I think the mule was already, eight of the mule was already in the first episode. And I had a feeling she was going to, I mean, I named her Ada after Ada Lovelace. But so like she was a character, like I had a feeling she would play a role, but I didn't realize that. It's like, okay, as I was feeling out the story, it felt like I wanted a little bit more of like, okay, well, here's a couple of things. Like, especially after the first episode, I get a sense of how the dialogue is going to go. And I've been playing more and more with this of like, trying to keep the dialogue in a limited number of voices, not only because it's more sleepy, but it's just, it's a good kind of limit, I think. I don't know. I think it's just like it keeps it within a sleep podcast context. But also, like, I'm just not a voice actor. So trying to do like 30 different voices is not only not necessarily conducive to sleeping, it's just not my, like, forte, I guess, or just not my preference. So just like in Big Pharma and the Sky PI, that G and DK didn't really have their, like, their voice was through Simon. I was like, okay, well, I want Dr. Triangle and Isosceles to have their own voices, but I don't know about all these other, like I said, this is really going to be like this village type situation where they're going to these village squares and they're interacting with a lot of people. And so I said, okay, I'm not sure this is good. Like, how are we going to voice this? And I said, okay, well, Ada can do that. Also, like, maybe some of their performances are going to be dramatic, so then Ada could fill us in. I don't know, and I just felt like Ada was a more capable narrator than I was. So that's how Ada became narrator. Probably had some other thoughts about it. I mean, I guess this gets into my, like, and again, this isn't a big deal. It's just like, and part of the nice thing about doing these recaps is that I get to look back in an active way. But there were some things that I wasn't exactly happy about. I think, like, again, the result-wise, I've gotten a ton of feedback that this was a very sleepy podcast. And so that even on repeat, the episodes are very sleepy. So I think from, like, putting people to sleep perspective, the episodes were a very strong success. And then I think that a part of that was, like, the density of the math, the ability. Okay, I guess let's talk about this instead of regrets. Why were these episodes? I mean, and one thing is, I think I'm getting more and more experience at making these shows. And so a lot of our series, especially all of you lovely regular listeners and new listeners, you say, Jesus, one can't even get through these episodes. So, like, I want to listen and I can't. And that's great. And then the listeners that normally don't sleep to the episodes give me feedback on them. And they say, geez, I enjoyed it in this way and this way. So it met both those. And I think one is, like, the theme of math, the resonance of, like, one, it wasn't like a hard dystopia, right? It was like this softer, more almost organic dystopia. Like more of a reversion. I guess it wasn't even a dystopia. It was like a societal reversion. And it wasn't like any of this, like just our way of living was met upheaval, but not really so much how we treated one another. Though, you know, there were contrasting, you know, ways of governing and treating people and belief systems and stuff. And so I think like the ability of the math to enable that and to enable like a lot of the episodes to have strong connection to their concept and then finding a theme that resonated was good. I also think that I just forgot the other point I was going to make because then I got distracted. Another fun thing that I didn't expect when I was after I first started making the first episode, or maybe it was the second episode, was like, okay, well, how are they going to, if this is all some sort of mysticism too, or whatever superpower, I mean, whatever goddess powers, how are these two humans going to restore these math principles? And then also, like, I guess I haven't done it. Like, at some point I was like, oh, this could open opportunity for big boss battles. And that'll be fun. Like, that a lot of the episodes could culminate. Because they said, well, it shouldn't be easy. Like, I do not want it to be, even though people are sleeping, I don't want it to be easy for Dr. Triangle and Isosceles to solve these things. Because paradoxically, then it'll be actually too boring and it won't be as sleepy. Like, I think so there has to be some, like, even though the kind of narrative cohesion of Sleep With Me is like kind of wadded up, what is that, masking tape. It still has a cohesion. It's just a wadded up kind of cohesion. Instead of putting the masking tape like straight on the walls, right? Wherever you put masking tape. And so, I don't know. So the ability for the mass principle and the procedural to do that worked. But I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the big boss battles. I think that was just fun. For me, like, I think I did one or two or maybe just one in the last holiday season one, and that kind of, like, I said, oh, I like this. It gives me a chance to play with, like, this different idea and something from video games. So that was fun. What other reasons was it super sleepy? That's what I was trying to talk about. I think there was one or two. Oh, the idea of that they were performers, I think, added this extra ability to kind of, I don't know if the right word is, like, tangentialize, but to break the rules of traditional storytelling when you have to be interesting is, like, when they're making plays, and a lot of times they're having to make the plays up on the spot to meet their needs to solving the mystery. That enables, like, really tons of things, like, not only to get to know the characters better, which actually didn't work out the way I thought it would, but enable, like, really boring, like, the times when I could really put people to sleep, really dense stuff for people to make monologues or expository type speeches. I mean, and when I say what I didn't think would work, it was, like, I did kind of, and this will go into what didn't work, like, I did kind of view, going into making the series, I viewed Isosceles as a much more dominant character, and a blowhard, and full of ego, and more jerky. But as I kind of formulated it, like, as I started making it and writing it, I don't know, I kind of just die. I for some reason, sometimes I like stuff on the extremes, but both these characters, I kind of try to bring them more into the grays. And even, like, parts where I would, I mean, Isosceles definitely hammed it up, but not to the degree, like, I actually, as I know the, like, it was almost like it was a little bit more restrained than I expected. And that was just the ability of working with the character and being, like, the character saying, no, I don't feel like going to that, like, it just isn't fitting within the tone. Like, when the story talks back to me like that, or maybe that's part of making it, it's like saying, oh, okay, I'm hearing you, or I'm hearing myself, you know, as I'm writing it, and that's not working, so let's try it in this more reserved way. At the same time, that was a little bit of an internal conflict, and I think it also created, it did create, so there is this difficulty with the first seasons, which is why a lot of these shows always get a second season, is because the first season really is feeling out the concept and getting to know the characters. And this one, I kind of feel like they were just barely getting aired out, right? Like, and it was a shorter 10 episode, just because I was looking at the release schedule. And I said, okay, well, this is what we have time for as far as before the holidays, as I was looking at when we would have releases of episodes. Like, this spring when I was planning it out or whatever. So, I don't know. Like, sometimes that can be a little bit disappointing to me, is, like, wanting, like, and again, this is something everybody talks about. Ira Glass is a great example of, like, how you see a project and how you would like it to be, and then how your creation of it is. But it's still, like I said, okay, it met all those things. And I guess I've learned. But here's so we'll go into a new phase of learning, though, which is exciting, an exciting possibility, I guess. Yeah, but it was like this is how your first seasons kind of go, because you don't have the luxury of, like, world, like, doing a complete world build or a complete character. It's like you've just got, the work has to be done. But that's what's nice about these second seasons, is, like, Nuns in Space, it's like, able to get to know the loving relationship between Stan and Scooter, or Big Farm in the Sky season 2, of, like, seeing G and DK grow and solve their cases. It's just exciting for me, like, to see them grow, like, I don't know, to see the characters be more developed within this context. Now, that being said, I just felt like, one, I felt like because I hadn't, I feel like one lesson I learned that can be changed is that giving first season character voices is something I maybe need to do a little bit different from now on, because one thing is that I felt like a little bit tropey, even though the characters as I viewed them, and especially Dr. Triangle, is that I wanted Dr. Triangle to be very open to the audience, creating their own version of Dr. Triangle in their minds. So Dr. Triangle, I think, had a bit more ability, not that the audience had to relate to Dr. Triangle, Isosceles, or Ada, but that I just wanted Dr. Triangle to be a little bit more, I know who Dr. Triangle is, but I also wanted the listeners, as with all the characters, but a little bit more with Dr. Triangle, to kind of be able to imagine their own version, or whatever, I don't know if you know what I mean. And then Isosceles too, but Isosceles a little bit more of like just a slightly more center stage type personality. What does that have to do with things? I guess just like, what do I learn? So I guess moving forward, like the show is not in a position yet, like with our Patreon, for me to be able to put out a Patreon exclusive episodes, but it is like, I think we're probably like 1,000 patrons away from being able to do that like once a month. So that's a pretty big gap, but I did think about like, okay, it's going to be a little while till I do another new season, because it's like I have the holiday series planned, and then the next season will probably be, it's not 100% locked because I got to do the holiday series. But I have a feeling of what our series will be to start out 2018. It'll be a return to two characters. So we'll see about that. I think because I don't have a whole season, I think I need more time before the first episode of a new series to develop the character voices, the actual voicing of them, and the intonations, and just their way they dialogue. Because I did feel like they kind of fell into this, like, tonally, a bit like Bezos, James Cashpenny and Richard Warren Sears, which was kind of almost unintentional, because the characters are... Dr. Triangle and James Cashpenny are similar only in that they're both kind of competent characters. And I guess they do have some vices that they're driven by, different vices. And then Richard Warren Sears and Isosceles are kind of similar, but Richard Warren Sears is a much more extreme version and much more... less like Isosceles is just really a family based person in their deepest motivations, and then wanting to be center stage. So I don't know. I may try to figure out something. I mean, this would be not until like spring of 2020 to figure out like, oh, with our next new series, is there a way to put out minisodes for patrons like, at a certain tier, like to start working with the character voices, and do we have time for that in editing budget? So it's just something I thought about of like, and it was literally just like 2 days ago when I was walking the dog and I was thinking about recording this. I said, well, I don't know. I'm just a little displeased not with the characters of who they were or who I felt they were when I was speaking as them, but of actually the voices I was giving to them, it fell a little short. Not a big deal. This isn't like a super big criticism of myself or anything, but just something I could do a little bit better out of respect for the characters, to be in all honesty, because once they're developed in a sense, then it's like, it is my job to live up to their standards or something, right? It's like, and particularly when I'm trying to do something a little bit more open, where listeners could identify in their own ways with the characters, or they don't have to. I mean, this is just always an experiment for me, too. So, I don't know. So that's one thing I probably will do differently. But also, I guess, here's another thing that I didn't think of till I was already recording this, was like, maybe I made a mistake in the scheduling, too, because what I did was, like, I had We did the Nuns in Space, and then the new series was just the holiday series, and then we went back to a season two. So looking back, it's like maybe those muscles kind of have to be stretched for a longer period each year, because it's like, well, that's a pretty long time between. But it was like once I had the concept for Big Farm in the Sky season two, I kind of wanted to jump on it for, I don't know, just because I did. I was excited about it. And I was excited to get back to those characters. So, again, I think, like, planning 2020 out, which is wild, it probably would be, like, a shortener, a 10-episode season of, like, of what we're going to do. And then making sure I have that 10-episode span for something new, which I have no idea at this point. But, you know, it's not a big deal. It'll all come out. So I don't know, I think that's like a couple things. I mean, it's like, I don't know, I hope you enjoy these, or they're not super navel-gazy or self-indulgent. But I mean, as we've tested out these recap ones or look-back ones, I know it resonates with people, like knowing that it's like this struggle making stuff, but it's always a struggle that has hope in it and fun in it. That's like, oh, I get to solve these problems. Within the context of making this show, it's one of the reasons why I love making it. I mean, the main reason being it puts you to sleep, which is like, it makes it even cooler, because then that's a paradox, which is awesome. And just, I don't know how close I get to develop this closeness with these characters, or play with like, oh, this didn't, or that it's also okay that it doesn't always work all the time how we want it, or be perfect, and then it still is, like, really effective. I don't know, like, that's, like, whatever you're making, maybe, like, it doesn't have to be perfect, or it doesn't have to come out great, it's all part of the process, right? So I guess that's it. I'm trying to think of anything else with this. I didn't really learn anything about math too much new. Other than, I guess, if you eat a pie with, some sort of high-powered pie, you know, infinite pie in there, you know. So, to explain where things left off, basically, Sashat and Discordia got ingested so much of infinity that, they spread their pieces across the world. And Dr. Triangle and I, Cecily, I guess in some sense they were granted some sort of infinity. I guess not in a great way. Like, they have to pretty much spend the rest of their or eternity, like, wandering and finding those pieces. So it did kind of set up a next season for them, just because it just all fell into place. But the main thing is, I appreciate you falling asleep or listening to this podcast or being there. And I'm glad I can be there for you, because it's important. Your rest and your comfort's important. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Joni, Kirsten, and Lacey. Thanks, and good night. Ruby, Aaron, and Nima. Thanks, and good night. Isaac, Tara, and Lee, thank you, good night. Molly, Kwame, and Claire, thank you, good night. Andrea, Donovan, and Neil, thank you, good night. Anthony, Hannah, and Tim, thank you, good night. Thomas, Hans, and Audrey, thank you, and good night. Alan, Karen, and Heidi, Thanks, and good night. Daniel, Kelly, and Jeff, thanks, and good night. Dania, Madison, and Jason, thank you, and good night. And Tara, Caitlin, and Molly, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep With Me actually exists as a free podcast out in the world because of our patrons and people that support the show directly, buy the merch, support the sponsors and all that. So thank you, all of you that do that. That's what the thank yous are all about. We also grow as a podcast from people just spreading the word. It's a huge free power you have, is just to let somebody else know about the podcast. It helps them and it, you know, broadens the community. You know, the podcast doesn't work for everybody, but hopefully it's just sometimes you got to tell more than one. But, you know, that's all you need to do is just say, hey, now, hey, so listen to Sleep Podcast, a little bit different. Maybe it's your cup of tea, your cup of sleepy time, syrupy sleepy time, slurring tea. Anyway, that's it. Thank you so much. Let me get your feet set up here like that. Okay. Yeah, you can queue up a lot more episodes. Here's a podcast I want you to know about. And then, you know, you can play another episode if you want. Good night. All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences is everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm gonna start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Four, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, all intro episode came out. Weird, the all night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo, that was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode, big retraction in that one, you know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. is we're able to put out the story-only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only. There's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Renfair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So, yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, did the part of Season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do Season 1 of that and probably Season 2, maybe go on. I don't know. Maybe do Season 1 and Season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from Season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too in summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.